Esther chapter 7. Book of Esther chapter number 7. If you would stand with me, right into reading the text here and then bringing the message to you. I'm excited to preach this. I need the touch of the Lord on us here this morning. And so you pray for us. Appreciate you praying for us this week. Had a good trip and a good service in Florida on Wednesday night, preaching down there at Brother Hill's place. Continue to pray for him and his family. So he laid his father to rest. Brother Ray Hill, dear, dear man of God, home to be with the Lord on last week, and laid his body to rest on Friday. And I'm sure they would appreciate us praying for them today. But I appreciate you praying for us as we was down there this week. Esther chapter number 7, and I think most everybody would be familiar with the story of Esther this morning. And when we come to chapter number 7, there's been a series of events, and we know of Haman. I want to deal with him some this morning, and then we know of Mordecai. Of course, we know of Esther and King Ahasuerus. Those are the four main characters of the book here of Esther. And the four of them are now, or at least three of them, Ahasuerus, Haman, and Esther, are now here in this banqueting hall. They are meeting for the second time. And it's been exposed to the king that Haman has devised this plan that is not only going to kill all the Jews, but in doing so is going to have Esther slain as well. And the Bible said in verse number 7, the king arising from the banquet of wine, and his wrath went into the palace garden. Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the place, out of the palace garden, unto the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbonah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai. Notice that, had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standing in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. We'll preach to you for a minute this morning as the Lord would direct us on this thought, hanging your Haman. Hanging your Haman. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are thankful and grateful for the privilege to be here. We know today, Lord, that all our gathering would be in vain unless the Holy One come down. And Lord, we have felt, Lord, that measure of the presence of God in our soul. It's been stirred, Lord, in the singing. And Lord, we pray and Lord, desire that, Lord, these songs and hands uplifted, Lord, would be pleasing, Lord, to you and your heart. And Lord, I pray now for the next few moments, take the Word of God, make it alive and well, the things we've studied as you've laid them in our heart. Help us, Lord, to lay them in the hearts, Lord, of these that have gathered here today. Give us victory, Lord, over the flesh. Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, to live victoriously. And Lord, to live a life that, Lord, you could bless, that, Lord, we could know what it is to be more than conquerors. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do here today. Lord, I'm well aware there could be somebody here today lost and undone and in need of the Lord Jesus to be their Savior and their Lord. I pray you turn them today, that you would draw them today, that, Lord, this morning they would realize they must be born of the Spirit. And Lord, that Lord, in doing so, you would indeed, by the grace of God, make things different for them. And Lord, for doing that, Lord, I'm sure they would, and Lord, we would, Lord, give you the glory and the praise for it. All that you do in sinner and saint alike, the glory be unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The book of Esther is an interesting book, and those of you that serve much of any preaching at all or studied it understand that one of the interesting things of this book is that it's the only book in all the Bible that does not mention the Lord by name or reference Him as Lord or as God. Be that as it may, the fact remains that God is no doubt in every chapter of the book of Esther. We understand God is at work and that God was there behind the scenes. And if the book of Esther, in light of that thought, would teach us anything, it is that even when you do not see God moving and working, God is there. I like what one songwriter said, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. And no doubt in the shadows of the book of Esther, our Lord and our God and our Savior is there, and He's moving and He's working all things for His glory and all things for the people of God's good. The book of Esther, as we consider it, of course, you can look at it from many different perspectives. No doubt the woman who bears the name of this book, this young lady, Esther, no doubt the book of Esther gives us a lot of things we can learn by studying this book from her life. And what a story would be hers to tell today that is found in the Word of God. How that she came to be selected and chosen to be the king's wife. And how that came to pass, and in doing so found great favor to King Ahasuerus, was promoted, and even gained such relationship with such a man who really in his own right was an ungodly man. And yet God worked in the life of Esther and the way she conducted herself and the life she lived, how God exalted her, and even a wicked king, Ahasuerus, was willing to give her the half of his very kingdom. And what truths we learn about her life that we can make application about. And I believe this morning that the way we want to look at it, and really in light of the book of Esther, I find it interesting that the book of Esther is as much or more about another character that we read about as it is Esther herself. The man Mordecai in our text verse is referenced several times. And this man appears throughout all the book, from the opening of the book of Esther to the end of it. And what a mighty man of faith this man Mordecai is. We find that in the book of Esther, when we consider the man Mordecai, that he has an adversary that is found in this book that is working against Mordecai. He's upset with Mordecai. And we'll see here in a moment, he even desires the very life of Mordecai, that he would snub it from off of the face of the earth, the man, the wicked man, the man by the name of Haman. And this morning, if you'll bear with me a little while, I want to look at these two men and bring a spiritual truth to light. And I think it's very important in the days in which we live, even this morning. Throughout the Word of God, you'll find that, as especially we come in the New Testament, that there is a battle that rages today. The battle and the conflict is between the flesh and the spirit. We understand that Jesus Christ dealt with this in John in chapter number 3. And when Nicodemus came to the Lord by night and had a conversation with the Lord, the Lord immediately turned Nicodemus to his spiritual condition. It didn't matter how much of the law he could quote. It didn't matter how thankful he had been to learn the jots and the tittles and to become a master and a great teacher of the law to those even in his generation. Nicodemus may have been a good man. He may have been a moral man. He may have been an influential man, but he was not a born-again man. And Jesus told him what all sinners must be told. Amen. Verily, verily, I say to thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see. And later Jesus would say, nor enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus being interested in that, his conscience being pricked by that,
Amen. Ask the Lord, how can this be? How can a man be born again when he is old? And Christ began to lay out a doctrine that is taught throughout the Word of God, that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Christ was laying hold on the truth that a man in his natural state, he is bound to the flesh. He can only do what the flesh would produce. And that's all he'll ever be, nothing less and nothing more. Amen. The flesh is the flesh. It doesn't matter if it's flesh on a bar stool or flesh with a Bible under its arm. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Amen. But Christ said the only hope a sinner has is that that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so Christ will lay hold upon Nicodemus and say, marvel not that I say to thee, you must be born again. Now Paul would teach us in the book of Galatians when he would argue with them about the gospel and what the gospel is. And he would bring them to an Old Testament illustration between Ishmael and Isaac. And Paul, in elaborating upon that the gospel and the need to be born again, would remind them and liken the fleshly nature to that of the birth of Ishmael. Ishmael was that Abraham and Sarah had worked up in their own power, and that's all the flesh can do. Amen. It may produce a lot of babies, but they'll be wild in the other day. Will be after the flesh and will only cause conflict and war. Paul said Isaac was born after that of the Spirit. And what Paul was teaching there is the gospel brings about a new birth. In fact, if you'll look there in the book of Galatians, let me show you this verse that the Lord gave me in considering some things about this matter of the flesh and the Spirit. He said here in Galatians 4 and in verse number 27, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as he that was what? Born after the flesh persecuted him, that was born after the Spirit. And then notice what Paul said, even so it is now. That my friend, the flesh persecuted that that was born after the Spirit in Ishmael and Isaac. Paul said that is going on now. And there's a side of us that is born after the flesh. And there's another side that is being born again, born of the Spirit, born from above, born of God. And that, my friend, the flesh is still warring against the Spirit. And man, thank God, by the gospel I was born again. Amen. And yet, my friend, though, I was born of the Spirit, there is still a battle that rages today. As a sinner, the only hope I have, amen, was that that spiritual man would be regenerated. Amen, would be born from above. Amen, but in being born again does not mean that the battle is over. Amen, in Galatians 5, Paul would say the flesh lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary of the one to the other. And so the child of God has a battle going on, we understand? And the flesh is one of the three primary enemies to the child of God. The world and the devil, along with the flesh, are constantly warring against you and I. Amen. And so that brings me to our illustration this morning from the book of Esther. As we want to look at this conflict between Mordecai and between him and Haman. You see, Mordecai, I believe, is a type of the believer. He has the Spirit of God. He's walking with God. He's in relationship with the Lord. And Haman is a type of the flesh. He hates Haman. He hates God. And he hates the people of God. And that is exactly what the flesh is in this day. And the flesh is not our friend. Amen. I understand that we with the flesh serve the matrimony. We serve the law of sin, but amen, by the Spirit of God, we serve the law of God. And so we understand this battle rages. How is Haman attacking the flesh quickly? If you look in chapter number 3 and in verse number 1 of Esther, you'll notice the pedigree of Haman. Haman is referenced here as an Agagite. And a Agagite makes Haman of the descendants of the crowd. Then my friend, God had sent King Saul many, many years before to go and to make war with them with the commandment that you are to go and destroy them all together. And now what we find is Saul rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and he showed mercy to Agag and the king of Agag. And I let some of them live. And now fast forward many, many, many years later. And now here's a descendant of that crowd that Saul was supposed to have rid from the land. But here we find it rising again. And may I say that it's just like the flesh. Hey man, you can do war with it today and think you have the victory. My friend, it does breed other children. And the flesh always will rise again. Amen. And the pedigree of Haman teaches you and that. And a lot we can preach out of all down there. The pedigree of Haman, notice the passion of Haman. In chapter number 3, in verse 5 and 6, you and Haman saw. And Mordecai battled not. You understand the king has promoted Haman and given him great preeminence. And now he's got this position. He's being praised by those throughout the book of Esther in chapter 2 and 3. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then was Haman full of wrath, notice that, and thought scorn, notice that, to lay hands on Mordecai alone. For they had shown him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. And so I see the passion of Haman. There's an emotion that Haman has toward Mordecai and toward the people of the Lord. He is full of wrath. And he thinks scorn that they might do to them. And do you know that's what the flesh is today? Amen. Again, Paul said in Galatians that these are contrary the one to the other. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. That my friend, it is stirred in passion against man that has been born again. Man that has been born of the spirit. The flesh, my friend, has a passion. Amen. That is a wrathful and a scorning passion. I see the plan of Haman typifies him as the flesh. We read there in verse number 6 in chapter 3. And he sought to destroy the people of Mordecai. He is making a plan throughout chapter number 3. And later on in the book of Esther, he is given a plan by his own life and servant. And he would build a gallows and there hang Haman and anybody that would stand against Haman. And so what is his plan? It is simply the same plan the flesh has. The flesh had longed to wipe out the people of God. Amen. Anything fleshly nature. Amen. Anything that is of the works of the flesh is designed. Amen. Not for your spiritual betterment. And not for your walk with God to be pleasurable. My friend, this is a desire within the flesh there is. And my friend, we would be spiritually destroyed. And you find that throughout the book of Esther, what a wicked man Haman was. What a wicked individual he is. Amen. How much passion and hatred and wrath there is in his heart. Amen. No doubt because of his pedigree and who he is. And throughout the book, it would appear like, especially in chapter number 3, and Haman will win the victory. A decree has gone out and all of Israel is heartbroken. All the people of God, my friend, removed the tears for their day of destruction is at hand. How the decree has gone out, there's no way to reverse it. There's no way, my friend, to undo it. We come to Esther chapter number 7. and the very gallows that Haman has designed and planned it and filled with the wrath of his very wicked heart. We find chapter 7 closes that Haman, Brother Long, is the one that is hanging upon those gallows. And it is Mordecai that walks away in victory. And so in that, I see Haman as a type of the flesh in the prevailing over Haman. I know the flesh is a mighty foe this morning, much like Haman. Haman was a mighty adversary to Mordecai and to the people of God. But that friend, Haman, was no match for God. And that friend, just because he was a mighty foe, did not make and Mordecai as a type of the believer, born again, walking in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Could not my friend watch his Haman be hanging, amen, on the gallows. And so today, amen, I want to preach to you. I hope it's an encouraging message. I hope and I really believe it's something that needs to be preached more and more in the days that we live. Because there is so much flesh in our day. Amen. There's so many works of the flesh. Amen. In our society, and oftentimes, if we'd be honest, amen, even into our very own lives. But, amen, it is the will of God that we prevail over the flesh. And we have victory over the flesh and the lust of it and the works of it. And that friend, that you and I be the ones that walk in the power of God. Amen. And find indeed that we can hang our hand. Amen. And so let me give you three things here quickly this morning, and I'll, amen, be done. I spent most of my time on this first one, so if it gets a, amen, going a little long, just understand that's the bulk of the message. Amen. Hanging your hangman. Amen. I trust maybe you want to have some victory over your flesh. Amen. That's our desire today. Notice women, number one, as we consider Mordecai this morning, notice the path to hanging your hangman. The path. What is the path? What is the path, amen, that led to chapter number 7 in verse 9 and 10? Amen. What is it then that Haman, with all his viciousness and all the plans and what looked like to be certain of the certain destruction of Mordecai? Amen. What path did he walk, Brother Tim, that eventually led to Mordecai hanging his hangman? Amen. Let me say, I believe there's a path that we must walk. And just observing and doing an overview of the book of Esther, I find that there's at least five things and five steps that Mordecai walked in that if you remove any of those, amen, you would have never found chapter 7 in verse number 10. Amen. Back up with me quickly, if you would. Let's work our way through it. In the book of Esther, chapter number 2. The Bible said, verse number 21, in those days, when Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains bid them, and Teresh, if those which kept the door were wrought and saw that they had on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Here's what I wrote down, and I understand this, and I don't think you have any trouble understanding what's going on. Two men in the king's kingdom's mad at the king. They're going to kill the king. And Mordecai hears about it. And Mordecai, a man, speaks up, gets word to the king. It's found out to be true. And those two men were hanged. And what I wrote down, or what the thought was that came by my mind that I wrote down, is that in this text we learned that Mordecai was a man that done right without recognition. He done right without recognition. That friend, he could have justified a lot of things. Amen. Ahasuerus is not the greatest, amen, individual. He ain't the greatest king. Amen. But when he found out of the evil plan of these two men, he spoke up and he done the right thing, and he did it without recognition. He did it without praising himself. He did it without self-promotion. He did it, my friend, without wanting any reward for that that he got. He just done right because right is always right. Amen. Can I say the path to hanging your hangman and having victory over your flesh is that you and I must learn how to do right without recognition. Amen. Just do right when nobody's watching. And do right when you're in the shadows. And do right when you're all alone. And do right when nobody else is. Amen. You'll never have victory over the flesh until you learn to do right without recognition. Amen. It's amazing what people will do for pats on the back. It's amazing the spiritual activities people will do. If the preacher would call their name and praise them, my friend, we're going to have to learn to do right. Amen. When your spouse ain't around, do right. Amen. When your children ain't around, do right. And your mom and daddy ain't watching over your shoulder, just do right. Amen. I'm telling you, you take chapter 2 out and what Mordecai done, because it's going to play a big role. Amen. Just doing right without recognition. It's going to play a big role in days to come in his life to hang in his hand. Amen. He done right without recognition. Number 2, his path to hanging your hangman. I find it Mordecai as a man that resisted the pressure of others who reverenced Haman. In chapter number 3, Haman has been promoted. In verse number 1, after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman and advanced him, the Bible said, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed in reverence Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. I like this, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. And I'm going to look more at that in just a moment. And so Haman walks in. He said, now the king said, and all y'all got to bow down to me and reverence me. And everybody did, except Mordecai. And everybody else seen what Mordecai did. And now notice with me in verse number 4, now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, that is Mordecai. You see, they asked him in verse 3, why transgressest thou of the king's commandment? Now it came to pass when they spake, how often? Daily unto him. He hearkened not unto them that they told him that, to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And so I wrote it down there. There is the path to hanging your hangman. And Mordecai is a man that resisted the pressure of others who reverence Haman. And Mordecai, when everybody else was bowing down, and everybody else, my friend, was just going with the flow, Mordecai said, I can't do it. I won't do it. I will not do it. And they began to press on him every day. Amen. Daily means every day. They came to him and said, you're going to bow today? You're going to give in today? Are you going to do what the rest of us are doing today? And he said, no, I ain't going to do it. Amen. And he kept resisting that pressure. Amen. That no others had reverence. Amen. Amen. You know what his mentality was? He said, I ain't going to do it. I'm a Jew, and Jews don't bow to Haman. The people of God don't bow down to Haman. He's wicked. Amen. He's wicked. It comes from a long line of wicked people. And because of what God has made me, I cannot bow no matter how much pressure you put on. Yes, buddy, I'm telling you, you're living in a society. And my friend, Hollywood and the world and this generation put so much pressure, amen, even on the children of God to bow down the flesh, amen, to watch this and listen to that and go to this place and even this table. And my friend, to the point that many of God's people have yielded to the pressure today. But if you ever yield to the pressure, amen, I don't care who does what. I don't care who bows. Amen. I don't care what direction, even among the children of God, that people go. Amen. If you're ever going to hang your hangman, you have to realize you've got to learn how to resist the pressure that others put on you.
Yes, sir.
You've got to learn to say no. We got a generation spineless and gutless. They can't stand up to nothing. That's why we're losing ground in America today. Amen. That's why there's no hangings hanging on any gallows anymore. Amen. We all are floating downstream like a bunch of dead fish. Amen. But Mordecai said, amen, because of what I am in the eyes of God, I cannot do this. I will not do this. Amen. You asked me yesterday. You're asking me today. You can ask me tomorrow. The answer will still be the same. And to him daily resisted them. I like what the Bible said. The King James Bible said he hearkened not unto them. He didn't give them any attention. Amen. Number three, how we doing? Amen. In chapter number four, I wrote this down. At the pack of hanging your hamlet, at Mordecai, I was a man that interceded with intensity. It's a man that interceded with intensity. The Bible in chapter number 3 speaks of Haman's plan. He sends letters out, word has gone out. And because of the actions of one man, one believer, one child of God, and now all the Jews are going to be slain. And chapter number 4, and verse number 1 begins, when Mordecai, I perceived all that was done. Mordecai, I rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And so we find here that he is a man that interceded with intensity. And he realized, my friend, the power of his foe. When he realized the plans of his foe. When the passion that his foe had against Mordecai. And it moved Mordecai to understand. Amen. The only hope I have, amen, is to intercede to a higher power. I cannot resist him in my own power. I cannot fight against him. He has too much authority. And that friend, he's a man that began to weep and began to cry and began to, mad friend, pour out his heart. And I was riding down the road the other day. I believe it was with Miss Mary, and I don't want to embarrass her. Amen. She actually may help somebody else. But I was asking her about, amen, have you been reading your Bible? What you been reading? And she enlightened me about where she had been reading in the Bible. Amen. Was this you? We had this conversation. Amen. I'm old now. I forget who I talked to. But, amen, Brother Mike. She said, well, Dad, I've got a question. I just don't understand. In the Bible, when it says that they would rend their clothes and put on sackcloth, I don't understand that. And I began to explain to her, Brother Terry, how that was a sign of brokenness. That was a sign of repentance to God. That was a sign of seeking God with all their heart. And they was willing to rend their outer garments down. Amen. Lose even their own name and their own well-being and their own possessions and clothe themselves in the garments of sackcloth of humility. Amen. To desire that God would do something for them that they could not do for themselves. Amen. Can I say that Mordecai? In Mordecai, we find the path to hanging our hangnet. And if we're ever going to have victory over the flesh, dear God, children of God, we must learn how to intercede with intensity. Amen. Supper time prayers ain't enough. Amen. And your little bedtime prayers are not enough. Amen. Now lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. Amen. And then you go off on the sling, that'll never wake you up. Amen. With a Haman hanging on a gallows. Amen. It will take, amen, an intensity and intercession. Amen. How you doing on the path to hanging your hand? Notice with me in chapter number 4, Mordecai was a man that obeyed what was commanded him to do. He appeals to Esther in this conversations around chapter 4 goes back and forth. And she has now sent word back in verse number 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai at this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, neither day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to law. And if I perish, I perish. Boy, there's a lot of preaching there. And notice verse 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Are y'all awake? Anybody want some victory over the flesh? Anybody want to learn how to hang your hammer? I tell you, you take chapter 4 and verse 17 out, and man, friend, you'll never make it to chapter number 7, verse 10. Hey man, what is it, preacher? He was a man and obeyed everything he was commanded to do. I get amazed in the people that don't think I'm bellyache today. I love being a pastor. And one of the greatest things about pastoring is you get to deal with people. One of the hardest and most frustrating things about pastoring is you get to deal with people. People are kind and they'll share their battles and their works of the flesh that are going on in your life. And you sit down and you tell them, well, if you'll do this and you'll do that, I believe that will go a long way into helping you. Well, is there something else I can do? I've had them come and say, I'm addicted to pornography. They began to talk about how they exercise that work of the flesh, that sin. I said, well, sound to me like you need to get rid of your cell phone. Oh, I can't do that. And I'm like, okay then. And they said, well, you know, I'm struggling with this. Well, amen, best thing you can do is be accountable everywhere you go, every place you're at. And they'll do it for a few days, and then, amen, they drift back on off and they don't do what they're commanded to do. And hey, it winds up hanging them.
Right.
Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. We'll tell you something. You want to hang your helmet? Learn how to obey everything you're commanded to do. I've told y'all before, I've been pastor now, not a long time, but longer. Amen. Longer than some. I guess near 20 years, but Jared, just about near 20 years. I've never had anybody come back to me after dealing with an issue, giving them counsel, and they follow it, come back and say, I regret doing what you told me I needed to do. I'd take up the next hour or two telling you testimony after testimony after testimony of people that had come in the office and come to the altar and sat in the church pews, and we had talked and we talked about their struggles and tried to help them. And they come back and say, preacher, I did not do what you told me to do, and I'm paying the price for it. Why are y'all so quiet? Y'all want to be running laps. You wonder why people are dying spiritually. Those are not getting victory over the flesh. He's a man that, amen, done right without recognition. He's a man that resisted the pressure of others who reverence Haman. He's a man that interceded with intensity. He's a man that obeyed what was commanded him to do. Amen. Notice with me in chapter number 5 and in verse number 9. Amen. And thus far, listen, it is no secret Haman is out to destroy Mordecai. The decree has gone out. The judgment has been passed. And it's just a matter of time before the anvil of judgment and persecution and martyrdom falls upon Mordecai and the people of God.
Amen.
Chapter number 5. In chapter number 5, here's what you find. Amen. Look with me in verse number 9. The Bible said, then went Haman forth that day. He's been requested to go
have a meeting with Ahasuerus and Esther. They're going to have a banquet. He's been invited to a party.
He thinks everything's good. The Bible said he went forth that day joyfully and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai at the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. I'm talking about, Brother Jesse, I'm talking about the decrees that have been nailed on the doors. All Mordecai has to do is change and yield to Haman. Amen. But you know what? You know what Mordecai did? He was a man that gave no place to Haman and never made it easy on him. When Haman is joyful and Haman is glad at heart, Mordecai is there with his arms crossed, saying, everybody else may bow down to you, but I'm not going to make it easy on you, big boy. Amen. And I say one of the ways to hang in your Haman is you must, amen, give no place to the flesh. Amen, give no place to the flesh. Amen, stand against it, round back against it. Amen, do not make it easy on the flesh. Amen, the flesh desires to be joyful and desires, amen, to be glad of heart. It wants to do its work and partake of sin and live in wickedness and go the way of the world. Amen, but dear God, be a Mordecai and say, I will not give place to Haman in my life. Too many ways we make it easy on our flesh. Make it easy on it. Amen. Boy, I can preach. Y'all know I can get in here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. In this path, the path to hanging your hangman. Let me just end this and I'll be done. In chapter 6 and 7, I see the providence in hanging your hangman. Amen. In chapter number 6, the king lays down. Amen. Verse 1, on that night could not the king sleep. He commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthanah and Teresh to the king's chamberlains and keepers of the door who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus, the king there. Verse 3 says, What was done for this man, Mordecai? He saved my life. Remember, he done right without recognition. He did right without a pat on the back. Now the Lord places upon Ahasuerus a divine insomnia. Wakes him up in the night, won't let him go to sleep. And so the king said, let me do some midnight reading. And of all the places and he could have read, God had him reading of this very man whose life has been threatened. This man and Haman despises and longs to see the destruction out. And he reads and he says, you know what? I remember them two men who tried to seek to kill me. I didn't even know the man that had told on them and done right. He said, no, nothing was done for Mordecai. King said, call him. I'm talking about providence now. Call him. He calls for Haman. He gets Haman there. He says, now Haman, and he begins to talk about, what would you do for somebody who is so important to the king? What would you do for somebody that the king would not even be here today were it not for this one? Oh, Haman, he bows up. Ain't that like the flesh? The flesh thinks, amen, the flesh is getting us back. Amen, and Haman kind of swells, thinking the king is bragging upon Haman himself. The king says, whatever you say to do for that man is what I'm going to do. He says, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd write him down. I'd make everybody bow down to him. I'd let him ride in your chariot. I'd let him wear your ring. I would make a big pomp and circumstance.
King said, Haman, that's a real good idea right there. Go get Mordecai. Can you imagine Haman's mouth dropping? Go get Mordecai. You take him through the kingdom, and you go before him, and you lead the way, and you make sure everybody bows down and thanks him for his service of doing right that nobody knew. Say, how do you explain that? Divine providence in the life of Mordecai.
Amen.
Now here's what I want to say right here, and I'll move on. I'll give you the last point, and it's real short, and I'll be done. Amen. We find the Lord gives Ahasuerus insomnia. Amen. And moves on the king's heart of Gad to advance Mordecai to an eventual victory over Haman. And you see, here's my point, here's my thought. You got to get this now. Mordecai had done his part, and that was all he could do. Only thing Mordecai could do is do right without recognition. Resist the pressures of others around him. And intercede with intensity to matter and obey what is commanded. To give no place to Haman and his foe and his adversary. He has done his part, and that is all he can do. And in chapter number 6 and in chapter number 7, here's what we find is that God honored Mordecai doing right by intervening on his behalf. If you want to have victory over the flesh, do right. If you want to hang your Haman, do right. Amen. Do all you can do. And at the end of the day, realize, amen, it will be the providence of God that brings victory into your life. Amen. Boy, I'm glad today if we'll do right, God will help us hang our Haman. Amen. If you'll make a decision today to do right. If you make a decision today, amen, resist the pressure. If you make a decision today, I'm going to intercede. I'm going to pray with some intensity. I'm going to go to God for what I need in humility. I'm going to do what I'm commanded. I'll give no place to the flesh. Amen, you'll find that God empowers those people to have victory over the flesh. So at the end of the day, when our Haman is hanged, it is God that is praised and not we ourselves.
Amen.
You don't hang your Haman so you can pat yourself on the back about how spiritual a Christian you are. Mordecai did everything he could do, and if God doesn't intervene and God doesn't change the situation, he is an absolute dead man. But God did. And God does, and God will.
Amen.
The path to hanging your hanging, the providence of hanging your hanging. Notice with me the promotion after hanging your hanging. Chapter number 8. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. Mordecai came before the king. For Esther had told what he was unto her. The king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now the one who is a type of the child of God, born again, spirit-filled, is ruling over the house that one time was about to bring him this so many people today, the house of Haman rules them rather than being set over the house of Haman. But if you'll follow the path and you'll trust the providence of God, God will promote you to victory, and you will rule over the enemy of the flesh that has designed your destruction. And we call them all kinds of things in this day. People call them vices. I got vices. Sin. It's sin. You call it a vice. You call it bad habits. At the end of the day,
sin.
Amen.
And it is the very absolute perfect will of God, Jeremy, that you have victory over the sins of the flesh. God wants you to rule the flesh, not the flesh rule you. Is that right? Y'all know I'm right now. Families are being divided. Churches are being divided. Our country's being divided because people have lost sight of ruling the flesh rather than the flesh ruling us.
That's good for you.
Amen. The promotion. Can you imagine? Amen. Chapter number 9. Look at chapter number 9. We'll look at chapter 8, verse 16. Let me read this and I'm done. Amen. Come on, Sister Candy, if you would. The Jews have light and gladness and joy and honor. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Not only was Mordecai advanced in the kingdom, but others were joined into the joy of his victory. You see, when you let the flesh rule your life, others are affected. I'll say that again. When you allow the flesh to rule over you, you allow your life to affect everybody else. But when you're ruling over the flesh, guess what? You affect everybody else. So Mordecai hanging his hand brought joy to others that were around. Amen. Chapter 9, verse number 3. I love this one. You talk about a turn of events. You see, Haman had a bunch of folk that was excited to join him in his ventures to slay the people of God. Mordecai is on the terror now. He said, I'm going to hang Haman. While I'm at it, I'm going to get all of them. Yeah. Don't tell me the Bible's a boring book. Amen. I like all the bloodshed and swords sharpened and heads coming off and hearts getting poked out. Somebody help me. And all rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers and the king helped the Jews. Why? Because the fear of who? Mordecai fell upon them. Now it's not the Jews afraid of their foe and the Hamans and all the little Hamans and the, amen, all the people following Haman. Now those who represent the flesh have started fearing the people of Mordecai.
Yes.
Amen. Chapter 10. Here's how the book ends. And King Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land, upon the isles of the sea. All the acts of his power, of his might, and the declaration of what? The greatness of Mordecai. Whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of Kings of Media and Persia? The greatness of Mordecai. Anybody here interested in being a great child of God? Anybody here interested in spiritual greatness? Not Brother Mo, again, for our own self-promotion and pat ourselves on the back and woo, look at me. But for God's glory, God's sake. When they sat down and they wrote about King Ahasuerus, Mordecai was so filled with victory and greatness. They said, we can't write about the king without writing about this man of God.
Amen.
So many people today, they want to be great. Great and wrong, they desire to be great. I strive to be the greatest. I don't know that I'm the greatest in anybody. But strive to be as great as I can be. Amen. Would to God our generation would seek a spiritual greatness.
Amen. Amen.
But you only attain that after you learn that hand to hand.
That's right.
Let's stand together.